So the word this morning is coming from John 16, 5 through 15. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. But now I'm going to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I say that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Carrie. You can be seated. This morning, we are doing part two of Through the Spirit. I'm going to title this morning, Our Advantage. Can y'all say Our Advantage? When I was in high school, a long time ago, I won an academic award that postured me to give a speech to a crowd. Now, our school was pretty good at science and math, not so much good at English and giving speeches. So I knew this day was coming, and like the good student that I was, I procrastinated. And the night before the speech, y'all remember the feeling? Students, I know y'all are feeling this right now, that freak out moment. We have an exam tomorrow, and we haven't even been to class in a month. Nobody over here, I know. And I'm like freaking out. I don't know words like anxiety and panic. It's just not the vocabulary of our home. But I started to do those things. And like a good mom, my mom is noticing this. And so she goes to my dad and says, get down there and help him. So my dad, comes down. He sits beside me and he starts to help me. Just ask questions. What do you want to say? What are you trying to say? He starts writing it out. Now, I did the speech, and I'd like to say it was awesome. It was not awesome. It was a speech. I didn't die, and there was an audience. That's about all I remember. I survived. But this reminds me of this situation that the disciples find themselves in. Jesus is going away, and he's told them blatantly multiple times, and now again, very directly, I am leaving. And they're like, what? And he said, look, the ministry that I've been doing, I'm going to give to you. You see what I've been doing? Now I'm going to pass the baton to you, and I need you to do it. And this is pretty cool because he pulls them around, and this long farewell discourse of Jesus is the longest teaching by Jesus in the Bible, even longer than the Sermon on the Mount. And he says things like this, a new command I give to you. I want you to love each other. Even as the Father loves me and I love you, I want you to love one another. And I can just think of them like, can't happen. I need some help, right? And then he goes on to say, look, the world will know that you're my disciples because of your love for one another. And then he goes on to say, I'm going to give you a helper, the paracletos, the the one called alongside to help. The one who can see like I see, hear like I hear, and he was going to help you. And that's the good news. And he uses some analogies in here of like father, son. He says, or father, daughter, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to be with you forever. I'm going to be with you and I'm going to be in you. And then he'll say something like, now abide in me. Abide in my love. Then you'll bear much fruit. And prove to be my disciples. So not only will you love each other, but out of your life will come the character of God, or at least the growing character of God, right? Because we are being transformed in here. If you're following Jesus and you've arrived, you haven't arrived, right? You might be the furthest from arrival. Because we're on a journey following Jesus, bearing fruit for God, love and joy and peace and kindness. And he said, look, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you're going to bear much fruit. And then he goes on to say things like this. If they hated me, they're going to hate you. In fact, they will drive you out of the temple. They will kill you and think they're doing a service to God. Don't let your hearts be troubled. I just love that. And do not be afraid. I'm going to give you the helper. And in fact, I love this kind of culminates in this. It's better that I'm not here. It's better for you. So just imagine, you could be with the person Jesus, or you could have the Holy Spirit. I bet all of them were like, I'm going to go with Jesus. Do we get a vote? I'm going to go with Jesus on this one. No, he says, it's better that I'm not here, because if I go, then I'll give you the Spirit. And he'll be with you and in you. And this is what he says here. Now, I did not say this from the beginning, but I was, because I was with you, but now I'm going away. And he just begins to go on and on, and he's basically saying this. It's your advantage. Can y'all say our advantage? It is our advantage that Jesus goes away so that we get the Holy Spirit. Here's my focus statement. Here's my main point this morning. The Holy Spirit is on a mission, partnering with disciples of Jesus through relational communication. I'm going to say that again. The Holy Spirit is on a mission, partnering with disciples of Jesus through relational communication. Number one, the Holy Spirit is on a mission. Look at this. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I do go away, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Look at this. I'm going to send him to you. Awesome. Right? I'm going to send him to you. He's already said this 3 or 4 times. You're going to get the Holy Spirit. I'm going to send him to you. He's coming to you. Now look at this next statement. When he comes, he's going to like help us. He's going to lavish us with love, you know. He's going to like give us that holy tingle, you know, when we pray. He's going to give us all these good feelings. No, it doesn't say that. He says, when he comes, he's going to convict the world. Hold on, I thought, I need help, God. When he comes, he's going to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Here's what's interesting, is though he's really said all the things about the Holy Spirit being with us for us, it's not just about us. Like, God loves you. He wants to walk with you by his Spirit. In fact, you can know more tangibly the love of the Father through the Spirit. All of that is, and he's been painstakingly saying this, but now he's saying, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and then I'm going to convict the world. Because the Holy Spirit is on a mission to make Jesus known to the ends of the earth. And some of us, I think I was reading a book by Francis Chan years ago, and he says, the reason we don't experience more of the Spirit is because the Spirit's on mission, and we're not. Our mission level's down. We want the Spirit for us. And when we get that, right? But God has given the Spirit for the world so that the world may know. And look what he does. The word here is, I'm going to convict. A better word in English, probably for our vernacular, is I'm going to expose. I'm going to expose the world of sin. Y'all remember getting in the dentist's chair? They've gotten a lot better about this, but back in the day, when you got in the dentist's chair, you turn on that light and you go blind. I don't care how directly, you know, we're going to real focus on your mouth. Then why can I see light for 2 hours? Like, I can't open my eyes. We've got all this light in your mouth. Why? Because we got to see that little thing that's growing, that's going to bear a hole in your tooth and cause you great pain. You won't even be able to eat, sleep, if we don't get this out, right? And so the Spirit has come to expose us of sin. Why? He just likes sin? No, he wants to get sin out of you because sin is like a cavity on your tooth. It is eating away until it gets to the nerve of your mouth. It's until it really, it causes us to be ineffective and unproductive in the knowledge of God and in the mission of God. Now look at this. The disciples went out and preached Jesus while Jesus was alive. Y'all remember that? He sent them out two by two. But on the day of Pentecost, which we're going to celebrate in a couple weeks, when he preaches, the Bible said, I mean, if y'all listen to the message, it was not seeker sensitive. It was not like, oh, but the Apostle Peter really brought the word this morning. I was like, oh, I was really encouraged by that. You know what? This is what Peter's message was. Remember Jesus? He was the Messiah, and you killed him. Man, that was a good word. No, the Bible says they were cut to the heart. Who do you think did that? The Holy Spirit. He was doing the work. Peter was giving the message. Just like this morning, we are opening the Bible, and I am giving to you all I've got from the Word. But if the Holy Spirit doesn't open your eyes, doesn't soften the heart, then you won't be changed. You won't worship. And here's, I will send him to you, and when he comes, he will convict the world. The Holy Spirit is on a mission. Now, this isn't new. Right? We see this all throughout the Bible. I just want to real quickly walk through the scriptures. God comes into the earth. He creates the earth. He puts Adam and Eve in it. He says this, fill the earth and subdue it. And then he creates a garden and he says, I want you to take this garden and take it to the ends of the earth. That's a mission, y'all. Adam and Eve didn't come down with a strategic plan and be like, all right, what we got? We got some seeds. We got some animals. I haven't named them yet. All right, who's got some ideas? What should we do with all this stuff? Trees, water. Come on, anybody? Anybody? No. God comes in. He digs the garden. He says, see this? Oh, that's good. Yeah, now I want you to take this and push it out. This wasn't Adam and Eve's idea. This was God's idea. Abram was with his family. Doing a life. And God comes up to him and says, I need you to leave your parents and your home and your land to the land I will show you. And when you get there, I'm going to give you this land and your descendants will be like the dust of the earth. That wasn't Abraham's idea. In fact, he was upset about it because he still couldn't have a kid until he was 90 some years old. That wasn't Abram's plan. That was God's plan. God's on a mission. What about Moses? Screwed up, murdered a man, ran for his life. He's hiding, y'all. Moses is hiding. I wonder how many of us are hiding from the purposes of God. And here's the burning bush. I bet Moses was like, no. Nope. And then he's like, well. He comes over, take off your shoes. This is holy ground. You're going back to Egypt. No, that wasn't his idea. That was God's idea. Why? Because God's on a mission. David, this is what I love. Look at David. He is so thought of that when the prophet comes to town, they send him away. Huh? What's our excuse this morning? Well, my boss didn't think about me. Does he intentionally not think about you? Does he send you away when the supervisor's around? Is he hiding you? It don't matter. God will find you. There's somebody not here. That rugged man, that red-headed, fair skin, they're trying to hide him. Go get him. We're not resting until he comes. Because God's on a mission. Jeremiah, just look, your nation is turning from God. And I'm going to judge it. And you're going to be the mouthpiece. Because not only will you prophesy judgment, you'll prophesy its returning. And Jeremiah's like, no, I can't speak. Like, he gives all the reasons. And God says, no, I've got a mission, and you're going to be a part of it. Zechariah, I mean, old, had a vision of having kids, but just gave it up. Because wife is barren, I'm too old, just doing my duty. God shows up in this secret place. You're going to have a kid, and he's going to prepare the way for the Messiah. That wasn't his plan. That was God's plan. Why? Because God's on a mission. And we could go on and on all morning just so that we know God's on a mission. God is the driver of this thing. God's doing something in the earth. Have y'all realized that? He's doing something right now in our time. This is an epochal. This is a kairos moment. In time, God is doing something. Man, my prayer is that we as a church will be a part of that. Young people, I just want to help you. God is doing something in your generation that we're going to look back on. You're going to look back on and say, that was special, and I was a part, or I wish I'd been a part. God is driving the mission by his Spirit. Number two, the Holy Spirit is on a mission partnering with disciples of Jesus. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I go away, I will send him to you, and when he comes, he will convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. What an indictment. I mean, that should encourage us. Look at that. I got lots to say to you. Like, I hope that does encourage you. God wants to speak to you. Like, I've got so much to say to you. Like, good things. Like, I want you to see. He goes on to say, I'm going to tell you about things that are to come. Well, where did you get that? Right here. I was just reading the Bible. Here in this passage. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. God's Spirit wants to speak to you. Full stop. Not me, you. God's Spirit wants to speak to you this morning. Is that a radical statement? God wants to speak to us. It's interesting because we need the Spirit. It's to our advantage that Jesus goes away so that we get the Spirit. We can't do anything Jesus has asked us to do without the Spirit. I mean, let's just say basic stuff. Go make disciples of Jesus. You can't do that unless God does it. And he's not going to do it unless he does it with you. Y'all realize that, right? I mean, well, what about Paul? Well, what about Paul? He showed up. God converted him by himself. Y'all see that, right? And then what did he do? Go sit there and I'm going to send someone to you. He didn't disciple Paul, but he did convert Paul. And that was an anomaly, right? That was an exception. But then you have oh, I'm going to send this guy to you. He's going to pray for you to receive the Spirit. And then after that, I'm going to send Barnabas to you. He's going to encourage you. Like, I'm going to send people along the way. So even the basic things that God has asked us to do as the people of God, we can't do without him. It's a partnership. Can you imagine God shows up, creates Adam. He says, all right, brother, fill the earth and subdue it. And he's like, I'm going to need some help. Ah, you are going to need some help. I'm going to give you the helper. This woman, Eve, you can't fulfill the call of God that I'm giving you, Adam, without Eve. She's not coming from his head. She's not coming from his feet. She's coming from his side, equal in beauty and glory. And says, y'all are going to have to do this together. You can't do it alone. This is where a helper suitable is most often talked about God, but in here, Eve. Now, it feels kind of like parental, when I'm reading this passage, it feels parental. It feels like this parental relationship, right? I mean, I feel like this is something I'd say to my kids. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Like, you've thought about that. I mean, even if you've raised small ones, you're like, look, you can't talk, and you can't really understand what I'm saying, but I got many things to tell you, but you cannot bear them now. But one day you'll bear. It just feels like this kind of relational connection between a father and his kids. And he's like, look, because timing is important, is it not? Yes. Like, I want to speak to you about some things, but you can't understand, or really, if I told you now, you'd probably mess it up. So I'm going to have to wait. Right? Yep. It's like the older man with a real financial estate. He puts some things in place not to give his kids or his grandkids their money too soon, right? Yeah, y'all go screw this up. So let me help you. We're going to have this board, and they're going to vote on how you can spend all this money until you get to a certain age, right? And so it's the same way. There's a lot of power available to the believer, to the insight that comes from God, but we have to be at a place to handle it. Partnering with God. Now, what I love about this is God is speaking to them in that moment. It's not like, I'm not going to talk to you until you get mature. Right? That's how we might read that. I got many things to say to you, but you cannot. He's saying that to them. Y'all get that, right? He's actually communicating something to them in that moment about not being able to communicate to them. So he's giving them communication all the time. God's speaking all the time. Now, there's some things I'm going to have to wait on, but I'm speaking something right now to you. And that right now I'm speaking to you is, you ain't ready for what I need to speak to you about. Y'all getting this? Y'all getting this flow of communication? Some of y'all are. Okay. Now, we are not going to, I mean, I've said this to my kids before, but at some point, your kids want to talk to you about something, right? And they're like, man, I want to talk to you about this. And I want to talk to you about this. And you're like, no, we ain't talking about that. I've said my piece about it. I made my decision. Well, I'd like to bring this up again. You know, like, could we talk about this? No. And at some point, you're like, look, we are not going to talk about this anymore. Over. This conversation is done. Right? So, why would God not speak to us about certain things? Have y'all thought about that? Why can't God speak to you about something right now? Made me curious. So here's some things that I think from experience and scripture. The timing isn't right. Okay, it's not a right time for you to hear this information. A word spoken in season is like apples of gold and settings of silver, right? There's something about the right moment, the right word. I was talking to a friend the other day, and they were coaching a team, and they said, you know what? we really need a loss right now so that I can coach them on some things. Because when you're winning, you know everything. We're awesome. All we do is win, 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 right? You've got nothing to say to me. No, I think you need to lose so that you get a little humility and realize maybe I don't know everything. I'm only 12. Or 18. Or 25. Or 45. So the timing isn't right. What about our maturity level? Might not be there. We haven't experienced enough of life. We don't know enough of our Bible. If God gave you a little bit about what he's going to do with you and you didn't know who he was and how you should live, God help us all. Right? Maybe God's trying to bring you to a place of maturity so that you could receive what he has to say. I mean, think about the birds and the bees talk from your parents, right? Now, we didn't get that. Back in the 80s, it was like osmosis or something. You were just going, y'all know about that? Yeah. Good. Right? If I'm lying, I'm crying. Tell me, TD. All right. So, that's fine. That was an era. But now, hopefully we know, like, okay, this should be a conversation we have really for as long as you live under this roof. We're going to talk about it all the time. We're going to make it normal to talk about this. It's not like, ooh. It's not like, we don't talk about that. No, we're going to talk about it because everybody's talking about it and showing it to you and finding you with it. So let's talk about this thing. But I ain't going to talk about all of it. All right, here's a little pop-up book. All right, come here, Sally. Come here, Bill. Look. See the pop-up book? No, that's not what you're going to do. You're going to say, look, I'm going to have an appropriate conversation with a 2-year-old or a 4-year-old or an 8-year-old and then a 16-year-old and then maybe even 25-year-old. I'm going to have an appropriate conversation all the way down because this is important information and it will help you and guard you and keep you. All right? We're not ready for all that God has to speak to us. Man, what if God wants to speak to us about how to minister to the deep parts of people's souls? Man, you better have some character and some fear of God. Because God's not going to reveal that stuff to you. Now, we see here that the disciples are anxious and fearful. And it was funny. I love this little dig at them. He goes, y'all didn't even ask me where I'm going. Because y'all don't care about me. All you heard was I'm going away and y'all are freaking out. See, even there, a little dig, but look, I want a relationship with y'all. Can we talk? Where am I going? Thank you for asking. I'm going to the right hand of the throne of the Father. It's going to be awesome up there. I'm going to be sitting down interceding for. I can't talk about that because all you heard was he's not going to be here anymore. Oh my God! Right? Our state, our emotional state can't handle certain information. So it's important, right? Your hearts are troubled. Here's one that I don't know if this is he doesn't tell us or we're not listening, but we don't want to know the answer. Y'all ever done that? Lord, should I date this girl? All right, thank you, Lord. Lord, this boy's cute, and I think I heard him say the Lord's name. I mean, he said the Lord. He's been to church before. Can I date? Yes. Okay, good. I remember in college, I was talking to this girl, and I prayed a lot about this. Only I never listened for an answer because I just wanted to keep walking. Right? Sometimes we don't want an answer. Should I be doing this, Lord? No. What's that? We're breaking up. The connection's not there. I'll try back tomorrow, Lord. I mean, y'all know this when you're kids. You're like, which parent will say yes? It's not the Father. It's not the Son. Maybe the Holy Spirit. Right? That's the most esoteric. I could probably twist my will into here. Right? Wow. Number three, the Holy Spirit is on a mission partnering with the disciples of Jesus through relational communication. Look at this. He will guide you into all truth. Because it's going to be a journey. What do you need a guide for? You need a guide when you're going through unknown territory. I'm taking you places you don't know. What's going to happen? But I will guide you. How do you guide someone? Now, you can guide someone lots of ways. A hand, follow me. That's a guide. You can guide. I've guided my wife maybe with my hand at the small of her back, right? We're going to go this way. And maybe if you're dancing, right? We're going to lead. You can guide by pointing from afar. Go that way. No, the other way, right? Your other right. You can guide by pointing, by shouting. A good look from my wife can say a lot. So can a bad one. She can declare the things that are going to come. Right? I place cards sometimes, and a look can mean a lot. If you're sitting across the table, you can't talk, right? You just look deep into their eyes. Like, brother, please, you know I got the card. Just play that card. There it is. Boom! Right? A text message. You can lead and guide. An Instagram clip. Why are you sending me this passive-aggressive Instagram clip? Right? Like, I know what you're trying to say to me about this. I'm that guy. Y'all don't send me any Instagram clips now. But you can lead and guide in lots of ways. Y'all see that, right? The Holy Spirit wants to communicate to you in lots of ways. He will guide you into all truth. Then it says, he will speak. Did y'all see that? He will speak. He will not speak from his will. He will speak from the Father's will. He won't make it up. He's only going to say what I tell him to say. He will, look at this, he will declare to you what is to come. And then he says that like three more times. He will declare. Now, have you ever thought about this just for a moment? How does the Spirit, who doesn't have vocal cords or a shouting voice, declare? I mean, we're talking about relational communication here, right? How do we have a relational communication with the Spirit? Because that's what Jesus is describing here. Now, here's what's neat, is that God has given us his written word as something he's already said. Y'all get that, right? The Spirit actually wrote the Bible. I don't know if y'all studied how we have the scriptures. The Bible says the Holy Spirit spoke through people to write it down. They didn't speak on their own initiative. They spoke what the Spirit gave them. So this partnership to write the scriptures. Now the scriptures are sealed. They're done. Sola scriptura. Scripture has the highest authority in the church and in our lives. And so I know when we have messages like this that some of us, and I've got multiple personalities, so I'm one of these. Some of us get scared about this. We do not like all this Holy Spirit talk. But I'm just telling you what Jesus had told you. The scriptures are how we know who God is, how we understand his voice, how we know when he speaks, his character. He only speaks with the Son. So if God's speaking something to you that the scriptures can't say yes and amen. That ain't from him. Now, we're talking about nuances that aren't right or wrong, right? This is not sin or not sin. Okay, now we're does it align with God's character? We're going to get into this stuff. But I want just, what I'm trying to emphasize to us this morning is, God speaks. In fact, he gave so many verbs about how he speaks that five times in five verses. Five different ways. Guides, speaks, declares. Before this, the previous chapter, he says that he will bring to your remembrance everything I have said. He will reach down into your memory and pull out things. But here's, he can't find, look, I ain't got much to deal with over here. I got a John 3:16. Well, John 3:16a. He didn't finish it. For God so loved the world. That's all I got. I know the plans I have for you. What was the rest of that? It's not here. So he can only give you what's there in that scenario, but he's not just limited to that. We also learned last time that he speaks about all things. That there's nothing outside of his purview. Now, how does he speak? Now, I think there's a little bit of an inclination there. He works with our memory to remember the scriptures. I know any of y'all who have gone and shared your faith or talked to a loved one about Jesus, sometimes God will just bring stuff out of you forgot where it was there. Yeah. Right? That's the Holy Spirit. He's like, if you need some help, here's a word. It's not exactly appropriate, but it'll work. You know, like, he's going to use it. So God will use you, and God will use what's in there. So he might lead you with an impression. He might lead you with maybe a picture or a vision. He might lead you with his voice, like in your inner man. You hear God speak about something. Now, we do trainings on this, on how to hear God and how to minister by the Spirit. It's not the purview of this sermon. But what I want to get us today is, do you believe that God wants to speak to you? And that God can speak to you and does. Now, how do we increase our receptivity to the Holy Spirit? We got to read the scriptures. We've got to know God through his word. This is his revealed word. Y'all have ever written a note? I wrote a note. I don't know if y'all are note writers to your kids, but at some point, you got to write it down. You got to document it. Because if you don't, you get gaslit. Right? You got to write that down. All right, I need three signatures and a notary. Look, I said it. Take out the trash. In fact, I said it today, and I've said it every day for the last 15 years. On this day, the trash man comes. And when he comes, he doesn't want just some of our trash. He wants all of our trash. Right? Come here, everybody, come here. Get the notary out. I said it. Sign it. There it is. Now, y'all went to class. Y'all have a syllabus, right? Right, professors, right, teachers? Y'all have a syllabus. 90% of the questions y'all get, did you read the syllabus? Am I right, TD? Did you read the syllabus? I never got the syllabus. All right, y'all know we got a website, right? I update it. Half your grades are just communicating on the same platform. So here's the thing. God has given us his syllabus. He's given us his word. He's written it down. It's been fought and preserved with blood that we might have the word of God. Of course God can speak to you, but have you read the syllabus? Now, if we just say, you know, there because this scares a lot of us, and rightly so, I'm going to talk about that. We're going to be like, hey, babe, do you love me? Go read the letter. Right? Can you imagine? My wife coming to me and be like, Blake, do you love me? Man, I wrote you a letter. Go read the letter. We don't need to talk about it. I wrote it down. Y'all see the analogy here? Like, we have a relationship with God, wants to speak to you. But this is a spiritual reality, and there are spiritual enemies. The Bible says, in the last days, you will be led astray by spirits. That's why you have the word. That's why you have a gospel community. Be like, that ain't the Lord. Well, I heard the Lord. Well, I'm trying to tell you, that ain't him. Let's gather everybody in the church and take a survey if that's the Lord. Well, we don't need to do that. Okay, I didn't think so. That wasn't the Lord, right? Because when we get more of godly people looking around at it, we're like, yeah, that's clearly not the Lord. Okay? So we read the scriptures. We worship. Time with God in worship, getting in his presence, kind of massages our senses to his spirit so that we might hear him and understand him. Undistracted times of checking in. Maybe you just sit down in your car before you drive home. Take a deep breath. Holy Spirit, do you have anything you want to speak to me? What a prayer. Maybe before you get out of bed and pick up your phone, you just out of your mouth, Jesus, thank you for life. Just communion with God. This is a relationship with the Spirit. Now, I think I said all this. Here's my pastoral piece. Because we are in such a fertile time in human history where people's hearts are wide open for God. Here's the thing about fertile hearts. They grow anything, and they grow everything. I've seen God move by his Spirit, and legitimate moves of God spring up. And in the same soil, I've seen counterfeits, cults, weird stuff, things that would deny the Trinity, deny all kinds of stuff, controlling, trying to pull you over in a way. Paul talks about it a lot. We've got to know the scriptures so that we don't get led astray. Just because we feel it doesn't mean it's God. Now, we're talking a lot about hearing God. You can hear yourself. Yeah, should I buy this truck I've been really wanting? You don't have any money. I still feel like the Lord told me. Okay, well, probably not. Okay? Emphasis on you don't have any money, right? Let's just start there. So we've got to know the scriptures. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Listen to Jesus talk about the Spirit. He will not speak on his own authority. That's wild. But whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me. The Spirit will glorify Jesus. So when Jesus is speaking, when the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, do you want to love Jesus more? Do you want more of Jesus? He will take what is mine and declare it to you, all that the Father has. Then we got the Father, we got the Son, we got the Spirit, the whole Trinity. You got people saying, well, the Trinity's not in the Bible. It's right here. The word Trinity is not in the Bible. We made that up. But the concept of a triune God litters the pages. Did y'all know the word internet is not in the Bible? Can't be real. No, the concepts are here. All that the Father has is mine, therefore I have said he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Now look at this. The Spirit puts himself under the authority of the Father and the Son. Y'all see that? And yet we think we don't need to submit what we hear from the Lord to authority. The Spirit will only speak what Jesus tells him to speak. So here are some guardrails or questions for Spirit leading or Spirit hearing. Does it agree with Jesus and the written word of God? Does it align with scriptures? This sounds like something God would say. That's why I love getting your Bible. man, I feel conviction of my sin that I've been putting all this digital media ahead of my time with the Lord. Is that the Lord? Holy Spirit, is that you? That sounds like something God would say, right? These are the things that God wants, your heart, your affection. Number two, do the other disciples of Jesus who know me best agree? Right? Let's just present this. This is what I feel like the Lord's saying to me. Let's pray about that. Maybe. A lot of times my response is maybe. I'm not God, but if it's sin, clearly no. Doesn't want you to leave your husband or your wife. Like, that's pretty clear. Don't divorce, right? Don't cheat on your spouse. That's in the Bible. Okay? Don't do these things that will wreck your life and your future. That's in the scriptures. But this thing about maybe your job or your home or your kid, okay, let's pray about that. Maybe. And then when we pray, you know, I think that's the Lord. Let's walk forward in faith. See how that works in presbytery, in community? Number three, do the spiritual mentors and leaders in your life agree with you? See, Proverbs says, if you isolate yourself, you seek your own desires, the Bible says. It says, if you isolate yourselves, let's rein this back. This is what the scripture says. If you isolate yourself, you're seeking after what you want. And so you just, what's your posture? Is your posture like, I need to tell my friends about this? I mean, my godly friends. Don't find your friend that's going to agree with you. Right? Don't find. You know he's going to let you do whatever you want to do. Don't tell him. That person that comes to mind, I really don't want to talk to them about this. Tell them. Right? Okay, hey, let's lay this before, right? This is godly wisdom. Now, here's the thing. I'm closing. We gotta be, how do I say this? Y'all like that pregnant pause? What's he gonna say? Don't be weird. That's what I'm gonna say. Don't be weird about this. God is God. He speaks. He is spirit. He is alive. Let's be wise. Don't be weird about this. Be wise about this. There are ways to talk about this and be really weird. I remember Beatty used to tell this story when he would sit down in church beside this guy and he'd go, I feel the Holy Ghost. I'm just going to move over a little bit. Like, okay, you can look. I felt God today in this room. I didn't have to like, oh, I felt the Lord. Just feel the Lord. Maybe if everybody wanted to know, he'd let everybody know, but he wanted you to know. Just, man, isn't God good? Man, he's good. So there are ways to make this weird, and there are ways to just, well, and we're going to make mistakes. I'm not going to say there's grace, but y'all know what I mean. Okay. Let's pray. Can we pray this morning as we close? Here's my prayer through this series and even this morning is that we will be more aware and sensitive to the Spirit. That's my prayer for us this morning. Here's what I want us to pray this morning. If you can agree with this prayer, if you can't, fine, that's okay. Grace to where you are. But if you can, say, Father, awaken my senses to your Spirit. If there's anything in my life that is hindering me from hearing you, can you bring that to mind? so that I might repent? In fact, let me just pause that prayer. Some of the things God wants to speak to you are to convict you of sin in your life so that you might hear him better. There's nothing like not hearing God like a jam signal of sin. In fact, even as I was praying this morning, this is what my impression from the Lord is. There are some things that God wants to cut out of some individuals' lives. Like cords that need to be cut. Relationships that need to be severed that just need to be cut. There's pruning. There's some things in your life that are not helping you run after God. They're not helping you follow Jesus. They're actually pulling you back. They need to be cut. And so can you pray this prayer? Say, Father, is there anything you want to cut out of my life? And just wait and see if he brings something to mind. Can be something as small as some wasted time in your schedule. God wants to cut that out. You're wasting your time. You're distracted. And that could be something as significant as that relationship you're in is destroying you. Get out. Father, I thank you for these amazing people. They've given their time to come to meet with God and the people of God. Lord, I pray that you would minister to them. The Bible says that when we tell the truth about what we're doing that is outside of God's law, outside of his will for us, if we tell the truth about that, then he will forgive us and times of refreshing will come from the presence of the Lord. His goal of pointing that out is not to beat you up, but to refresh you to walk a new way. He's got things for you. Thank you, Lord. Some of us in this room have made decisions to follow Jesus and haven't been willing, haven't had the courage, haven't quite had the grace to say, I need to get water baptized. I need to make a public declaration of my faith. Let's make it this week. Sign up on the app. Sign up online. Others of us, I believe God wants to bring you into community. You've been walking by yourself and you're not doing great. Get into the community of God. Get in a small group. Get in a life group. Get in a Bible study. Join one of the Growth Track classes. Do something to get around believers so that you can grow. Father, I thank you for these people. Thank you for what you're doing in this place. Lord, I pray that this church would be a place where your spirit dwells. Lord, when people come in, they experience your goodness and your love. When people interact with this community, this church body, Lord, they sense your presence because of our love for one another. Lord, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Isn't God good? Amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning. If you're new to GCF Church, we're so honored that you're here. And you filled out a connection card, please turn it into our table in the lobby. We'd love to get to know you better. There's some of us who heard some things that maybe we weren't sure was the Lord, and we want prayer for that. We're going to have our altars open and our altar ministers up here to pray with you, to help you in that journey. You guys have an amazing day. We'll see you next week. Let's live through the Spirit. Amen. Makes no difference.